What's up, y'all? It's your brother Ali in the mix with Tim Einekel on The Library. Keep it right here.
Violinist extraordinaire. Mary Benary.
My next guest is a Grammy Award winner, a violinist, and a humanitarian. She's worked with artists such as Kanye West, Jay-Z, Wyclef, Alicia Keys, Wynton Marsalis, just to name a few. She's known as the hip-hop violinist. You can check out more about her at MaryBenary.com. Miss Mary Benary, thank you so much for joining me on The Library with Tim Einekel.
Thank you, Tim, for having me on your show.
So I've been like a really big fan of you since The Hip-Hop Violinist. So, but when I, before this interview, I was, you know, reading up on you and trying to, you know, obviously find out more about you. So this is my understanding. You fell in love with jazz after hearing an album by Charlie Parker. You left Israel to New York in hopes you could use your classical training on stage. So then, in my mind, how did you end up on 106 and Park?
Right. Well, first of all, you summed it up together very, very nicely. I do have classical background, you know, and it's very important when it comes to a violin, because violin is one of those instruments that if you don't play it right, it can sound funny, you know?
Right.
So I'm very grateful for all the days and hours that I spend by myself as a child practicing every day and learning the instrument like in a classical way, you know, because it gave me the means to express myself in a way that is not funny. And so when I came to the States, I wanted to be able to play it the way that, you know, that I want to play. Classical musicians, usually they're interpreted like a classical composer's music. So, you know, let's say you're playing a Bach concerto, so you get the music and you play a concerto by Bach. But I wanted to write my own concerto, and so I came here to study jazz. Jazz music, you know, Tim, is music that gives you the opportunity and the tools to improvise and compose your own music in real time. And, you know, to be able to improvise jazz on violin, it's a very challenging skill, I would put it this way. And so after, you know, a few years of really like hard work and going to jam sessions every night in New York City, which is the best place to spend your nights in jazz clubs and you know, and master your skills, improvisational skills, I was able to fly on different beats, and I was gravitated towards hip-hop, R&B, and soul music. And so when I started improvising, you know, my own music and flipping these beats, I didn't even know that I came up with something new. I had no idea. I was just doing me. And so one day, this person from, I think he used to work back then at Atlantic Records, he saw me performing at a jazz club my own hip-hop beats. I actually used to write them down and give it to all the band members. So I would actually write down the drum parts, the bass drums, like exactly, like I wanted them to perform in the exact way that I had in mind. And he just couldn't believe it. Like I was basically like flipping hip-hop beats with a live band in a jazz club. And so he sent me to Sony Studios to meet Wyclef Jean. Wyclef we didn't really click at the beginning, by the way. He didn't really understand me or what I was doing. I was kind of a rookie in this country. I came here from Israel. My English was like me no English. And I had a lot of, you said in Hebrew, chutzpah, meaning audacity. And I didn't really understand, like, you know, I didn't even know who he was, to be honest with you. I was such a rookie. I was like, who is this guy bossing me, you know, bossing me around and telling me what to play and you know, want to listen to me. I thought he had an attitude. It was really funny, you know. Today, I love Wyclef. I really do. He's a friend. So, but just looking at it, like, you know, going back, it was really funny. The one who actually liked me a lot was his right hand, Jack, Haitian Jack. And he kept me around until Wyclef broke down. He was like, you know what? I'm going to get you one of my shows. And funny enough, he featured me first time as the hip-hop violinist at Carnegie Hall. I thought it was very sarcastic, almost, like, to get me in Carnegie Hall as the hip-hop violinist, because it's like one of those places where you strive your entire life to get there as a classical musician. Right. And there I was in front of the entire industry as the hip-hop violinist. And so that was the first time, and it was okay. It was a big introduction. But the real introduction was on the Apollo stage.
Discovered by Wyclef, I myself, y'all, personally saw this girl at a party and said to the producers here at Apollo, we need to put her on the show, y'all. So please, give it up right now. Start clapping right now, y'all, for Mary Ben-Ari, y'all.
To do an entire set. It was the next day, and I was performing with Wyclef's DJ at the time, DJ Leo. On TV, and then everything just followed that, you know. 106 and Park saw me on the Apollo stage, and Jay-Z saw me on 106 and Park, Kanye West saw me with Jay-Z, and so on and so forth. That's how it happened.
Was Wyclef the first MC to rhyme over something you were playing, or if not, do you remember who did that, and kind of what was your reaction when you heard that?
No, he was the first MC to introduce me. And he actually named me as the hip-hop violinist. Because, you know, it's you cannot name yourself the hip-hop violinist. Like, what is this, you know?
Right.
It's like, you know, you have to be, especially in hip-hop, you have to be named, you know. Out of all genres, that genre, you know. And so that's how he saw me. And that's he wanted to introduce me this way to the industry and to the hip hop world. And it was great to be introduced by the Fugees. I mean, couldn't get any better, right?
Right. So you mentioned you were in those clubs and you were flipping kind of hip hop beats and playing over them. So what drew you to, I guess, rap music, but also to hip hop culture prior to enough to make you want to flip these beats and play over them?
I don't know. It's one of those things. It's like, you know, what make us like blue over red, you know, or certain food, or, you know, certain scent. It's who I am. I like that type of music. I like soul music. I felt I got connected to it. I felt there was something very real. I felt free. I like the you know, it had a lot of originality and authenticity. I came from Israel, and it's, you know, Israel is a place of struggle, no matter how you look at it. We're very progressive, but we have a very difficult reality that we have to deal with every day, and I connected to the struggle of hip-hop music and, you know, to what rappers, you know, were rhyming about and where they came from. And I guess I identified myself with that world. It talked to me.
When you talk about MCs rhyming about struggle, you're, you know, as a listener, right? I'm able to understand that because they're saying words.
right.
But you're, as a violinist, I believe you're obviously conveying a message as well, but through your music, through the instrument.
Right.
Do you go in wanting to convey one message, or is it different throughout, depending on the track? And then how do you convey those messages?
What an amazing question.
Thank you.
Wow. So, first of all, hip-hop without a beat is not hip-hop, right? It would be just spoken words. So the beat is the most important thing when it comes to hip-hop. You can even have just the beat and you're still bopping your head, right?
Right.
And in every single got an instrumental that you can, you know, as a DJ, you can just flip those instrumentals and you have a hip-hop set. You're good with that. So connecting to the beat is the most important thing to me as a musician. And so that is like my first answer. My second one is that I play, I think, the most incredible instrument in the entire world for so many reasons. Violin is an instrument of soul. It can make you cry. It can create from a solo violin, you can produce strings, and you can produce entire orchestra with a violin. And I've been doing it for many years. All of the records that you heard me you heard me playing, especially if, you know, at my beginning with Kanye West, I used to spend hours in a studio creating orchestras for Kanye, just me and the violin.
Your mail. It's only two places you end up, either dead or in jail. Still nowhere to go. Nowhere to go. Still nowhere to go.
And you can make incredible arrangement and sophisticated arrangement or very, very simple arrangement. And this is one of the things that I do. You know, I mentioned before my classical background. I do it because I can. That's my education. That's my experience. Right now I'm working on a movie soundtrack. You know, that's what I do. I can do that, and I could apply that to hip-hop music. So I basically brought my classical experience and my jazz experience as a composer to hip-hop music. And that also, me as an artist, my ability to play R&B and flip beats as opposed to just a classical producer, you know, or a musician. So that's my second answer. Also, I think that, you know, when you're a violinist, you know, it does give you a voice because of the instrument and because of the production. So not a lot of people know, but I'm not only like what you call like a musician. My real work is more like a producer. So when I get in the studio, I play the instruments and I produce, I program, I engineer, I mix, you know. And so basically I'm free to do whatever I want to do. And as my career progressed, I dedicated my music to deliver messages. And for example, one of my favorite songs that I got to produce was Symphony of Brotherhood, and it's a single and music video that features Dr. Martin Luther King Jr. with "I Have a Dream" speech. I produced a song that features Nelson Mandela, one of his timeless speeches.
But as a humble servant of you, the people.
Freedom,
I've done many, many songs that, you know, that deliver like messages that are way bigger than me as an artist. And so I do care a lot about the content of what I do and what I get to, how I get to utilize the power of music toward the betterment of this world.
I actually have a question about the Symphony of Brotherhood track, because I was watching it, and I think the beginning with Dr. King's speech, I mean, it just sets the mood, and it's, you know, you're in for a very powerful score. And I was trying to imagine you writing this song. Is this a track that you heard the speech inspired the track, or was it one of those things where you're playing instruments, arranging things, and you just get that feeling that, all right, Dr. King's "I Have a Dream" speech is perfect for this record.
So every song has a story. The story of this song, I wrote it many years ago, and I actually performed it with my jazz band. And then I went to Atlanta I think it was the Trumpet Awards many years ago, and I discovered the legacy of Dr. King. It's not that I didn't hear about him before. There is a very powerful museum there, the King Museum. And visiting that museum gave me an experience that, you feel that you have to do something about it. Like, you have to, you know, express yourself. And so I started thinking, what can I do? And then I had this idea of taking the song, producing it from a live experience to a studio experience and production, and have King's voice in it. And so, yeah, I produced this song with the concept of including that timeless speech.
Miss Benner, you're not just a violinist or a musician that just plays music by herself. You also have, and as we mentioned, you also have MCs that rhyme or singers that sing over what you're doing. How much of a factor is, when you're composing a piece, how much of a factor does the voice of the MC play in it? Because a good MC, I always felt, can make their voice also another instrument. And I want to bring up the Sunshine to the Rain featuring Scarface and Anthony Hamilton.
I spent my years isolated, couldn't live with myself. I was troubled as a young kid, my tears didn't help. Manic depression was evident, I bathed in deep.
You have Scarface, who has this deep, bassy voice,
mm-hmm.
and I always felt like his voice is another instrument. I mean, when you're creating a track like that, how much of a factor is Scarface's voice when you're trying to put instruments down for it?
A very big factor. I mean, I agree with you. Scarface is incredible, and his voice is, in fact, just like an instrument. And that's the magic when you collaborate with another artist. I've been so lucky to collaborate with so many artists, and I have to tell you, each and every single one of them have influenced and impacted me as an artist and as a person. I learned so much. When you play an instrument, you get to collaborate more. It's one of those the benefits that it brings with it. And I think that I got to work with so many people, from Kanye West to Alicia Keys. I don't know if too many people know, but if you listen to Alicia Keys' Falling, I'm all over the song, and the very end, I even have a violin solo, and this is how she broke. happened to, you know, you mentioned Scarface, and a lot of people know me at the beginning from Overnight Celebrity with the incredible Twista. Very talented. Jay-Z and Janet Jackson. Ago, I had the best song of the year with Armin van Buuren in trance music. In the Latin field with Aventura, you know, live at Madison Square Garden and on the record. I collaborated with so many people that their voice is in fact an instrument, very powerful instrument. But with that being said, I like to believe that, you know, as powerful as it is playing music that is based on vocals, there is a lot of magic in performing music and recording music that is what you define instrumental music. Mm-hmm. And there is the magic of that is that it's not limited to words. Sometimes words, you know, they're blocking more than connecting. You know, it's when you play instrumental music is more international. It triggers the imagination even more. Think about the soundtrack for movies. Mm-hmm. You know, sometimes, you know, if you ever watch a movie without a soundtrack, you would understand what I'm talking about. And I'm sure you have. Right. Everyone has. You cannot watch a movie without audio. It just wouldn't work. It would be ridiculous.
Right.
And so, you know, I like both experiences equally. And in my shows, I get to perform many types of shows. And in my shows, I sometimes have bands with singers, and sometimes I perform by myself a very clean show. I have a multimedia show of one person, myself, and multimedia production that speaks the visual. For example, Martin Luther King would appear on a screen while I'm performing. And it's a very powerful experience, and I get to perform pop music, for example, hip-hop and R&B, EDM music, dance music, to sometimes a very corporate world that take it because there is no rap. You know,
right.
I can perform this type of music at the White House without getting into trouble,
right,
because it's instrumental. So that's one of the magic that come with, you know, instrumental music driven by violin.
Was there ever a track that you, I guess, was supposed to have some sort of, you know, singer or MC on it that you kind of decided against it when you realized how powerful just the instruments? I mean, because I was listening to the Ten Commandments. Please, nobody sing on this. This is such, you know, these are such great pieces. And I'm wondering if you ever had a moment where you, someone was supposed to be on it, but after it was done, you're like, oh no, this is perfect the way it is.
Every song could have an instrumental version. So it's not that, you know, just by having vocals on a track, it's not that it's limiting another version. You know, I remember when Kanye produced his first album, that to this day, I think, to my opinion, it's my favorite album of his, and how it came out, you know, as an MC, as an artist. It was so fresh and so different, you know. I remember him going through a time where he wanted to put out only the instrumental version of that album. He was so in love of the instruments, you know, and if he did so, it wouldn't take away from the album. It would just add, you know, and nothing is wrong with that. I do like both. I like having the diversity. It's almost like having a remix or a different version to one composition.
We're speaking of Mary Benari. I just have two more questions. What role does your music play in helping your humanitarian work? And what role does your humanitarian work play in your music?
A lot. First of all, you know, if you go on my website, marybenari.com, you can probably find more about like all this work, non-for-profit organization that I've been involved with. Just too many names to even mention right now. It's a very big part of my life and what I do. I do believe that music has the power to make this world a better place. Sometimes it's more powerful than words. And I also do believe that artists have responsibility to utilize that power and use it to impact and connect, especially with young people. I have my non-for-profit organization, Gedenkmovement.org, that is dedicated to educate young students for tolerance. And we've been running incredible programs, and we're going towards our fifth year of partnership with Scholastic Art and Writing Awards. And we bring tolerance to school with the national contest, where we challenge students in middle school and high schools across the country to submit to us a work of art or writing based on the lesson learned from the Holocaust and other genocides. And the work that we get show us the struggle that young people have today when it comes to the issue of tolerance or intolerance, and how much they suffer from bullying, from Islamophobia, gay-related issues, black and white, you know, men versus women. It's amazing. It's amazing to read and view the work, and I'm very proud of Gedenk and the work that my team and I have been doing in the past 10 years.
Do you feel the music helps you make sense of what's going on in the world, or does your nonprofit work help you make more sense of what's going on?
Both. It's never in one thing. What you do is always a combination of every skill and every experience that you bring to the table. I think I've been utilizing my music, my career to deliver messages, the stages that I get on. I get to play on very powerful stages, to be a part of in very powerful events, very powerful venues, and I get in front of a lot of people that are influencers. And so my career as a musician has brought me to so many places where I get to deliver those powerful messages with my music. So So it's combination of both.
She's the hip hop violinist, Ms. Mary Benari. Thank you so much. It's been an honor to talk to you on the Library with Tim Einekel. Thank you.
Thank you, Tim. I just wanted to plug in my website real quick, MiriBenari.com, and of course at Mary Benari to find out more about who I am, what I do, and perhaps some more questions and answers.
Let's go. Benari, Ghost, welcome to our world. Fearless, violin.
Work too hard, paid our dues. We gon' win, they gon' lose. Way too nice, can't fill our shoes. We gon' win, they gon' lose. Oh, so hot, but stay so cool. We gon' win, they gon' lose. The vibe is crazy, the words is too. Yeah. We gon' win, they gon' lose. We don't quit, we don't lose, block rules, we don't move if we don't choose. We ain't got the say to this big boy. We come through and make big noise, even when it's quiet, homie. Mess around, start a riot, homie. Hit the booth like it's fire on me. They know I'm the truth, no need sick of the liar on me. Now what kind of men are we? I'm a gangster, come down off the side of Mary Benari. Just listen to the violin strings. In the mind of a madman, you can hear how triumph ring. It's the king of the slum and the violin queen. Yeah. Work too hard, paid our dues. We gon' win, they gon' lose. Way too nice, can't fill our shoes. We gon' win, they gon' lose. Oh, so hot, but stay so cool. We gon' win, they gon' lose.
They gon' lose.
The violence crazy, the words is true.
The violence is crazy.
We gon' win, they gon' lose.
Mary Ben.
Open the door, open your ears, you hear destiny call. I make music, let the rest of you ball. If you wanna touch a soul, I'm the kid you need to see. I got the recipe, y'all. It's G-H-O-S-T, Mary Benari. Feel a groove, go against me, you lose. No doubt we gon' win. You hear the violin blow, with me flow, know the show gon' end. Yeah. Way too nice, can't fill our shoes.
Yeah.
We gon' win, they gon' lose. Oh, so hot, but stay so cool.
New life.
We gon' win, they gon' lose.
Bills.
The violence crazy, the words is true. We gon' win, they gon' lose. Work too hard, paid our dues. We gon' win, they gon' lose. Way too nice, can't fill our shoes. We gon' win, they gon' lose. Oh, so hot, but stay so cool.
They gon' lose.
We gon' win, they gon' lose. Violence crazy, the words is true. We gon' win, they gon' lose.